You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is 8 days before Thanksgiving. Our pleasure to once again speak with Jennifer Langosch, our Cardinals reporter. And Jen, we thank you for the time here on this Wednesday in November. And Jen, at the risk of asking a really dumb question, somewhere in this vast universe of ours in the last couple of weeks with the World Series, was there at least one Cardinal fan out there that for some reason somehow was actually pulling for the Chicago Cubs in the World Series, or is that completely insane?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a few. Certainly there's a faction of fans that no matter what will never, ever root against the Chicago Cubs, no matter how much they might be paid to do so. But I think you had other folks here that appreciated the history of this. I mean, St. Louis, the fan base here, it's a very knowledgeable fan base. They understand history very, very well in this sport. So I think there might have been a little bit of a tinge of appreciation for that from some. But you know what I sensed mostly was a good amount of angst, and not so much that the Cubs were so good this year, but I think a lot of fans in St. Louis who sat down to watch the postseason got a glimpse of how good the Cubs are likely to be moving forward, and kind of that what that presents to the Cardinals in terms of a challenge of closing that gap. So a little bit of nervous energy here, certainly a weird October to not have any baseball going on in St. Louis. But yeah, you probably had a few fans pulling for the Cubs. Probably most would have rather seen the Indians pull that out, however.
Yeah, I would guess that was certainly the case. And not that the rivalry needed any more spice, because it's been so good for so many years. But as you alluded to, now that the shoe is on the other foot and the Cubs are the team that's on top of the mountain, and you know the Cardinals are chasing them, how much more spice could this add to this rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly a lot. You look at the history of the Cubs and Cardinals, and as good as this rivalry, as you mentioned, has been through the years, it's been very rare for both of these teams to be good at the same time. I mean, usually if the Cubs have had a run, it's come when the Cardinals have had down years and vice versa. Especially in recent history, the Cardinals have been very good and the Cubs not so much. So, you know, the possibility, and we saw it last year when the Cubs and Cardinals met in October for the very first time in franchise history. I mean, the potential for those sorts of postseason meetings, I think, just enhances what is already, it has to be one of the best rivalries in baseball. So, I mean, the Cardinals, they see what's in front of them. Again, I mean, it's no secret they played this team 19 times during the year, and they got to watch them on TV all of October. They see the young talent that Chicago has put together, and it certainly gives the Cardinals motivation to really work this offseason to improve their club. I mean, this is a Cardinals team that finished 17 and a half games behind the Chicago Cubs. So that is quite a large gap to fill. The Cardinals, of course, will remind you that they've kind of been the diamond of the NL Central really since the turn of the century, and they don't think they're going anywhere. But certainly this, I think, has the potential to be a very exciting rivalry moving forward.
Yeah, no question. And even though, as you alluded to, there is a begrudging respect on the part of the Cardinals fan base towards the Cubs, for what they accomplished this year for the first time in 108 years, it's still very difficult to stomach the words, World Series champion Chicago Cubs. So I got to think that the possibility for the Cardinals and their fans to steal Dexter Fowler from the Chicago team, he was so instrumental, not just at the top of that lineup, but defensively in center field. I know there's been a lot of rumors that, you know, he's a free agent again. Return to the Cubs last season. That's probably not going to be the case this year. Cardinals very much in the mix for his services. What are you hearing on that front, and how much of a good fit could he be in that Cardinal lineup?
Yeah, it'd be a little bit of a sweet payback, because you remember a year ago it was Jason Hayward and John Lackey, both players that the Cardinals made qualifying offers to and tried to bring back that ended up going to Chicago. So, you know, of course, the Cardinals would like to lure players back down here. And, yeah, I mean, as you look at Dexter Fowler, there is interest. I will say that he is not the only player the Cardinals are looking at. I mean, this is a very interesting market this winter in that there are not a lot of great options for the Cardinals outfield-wise in the free agent market. So I envision them scouring the trade market very hard for a fit there as well. But, of course, you don't know, A, which players are going to be made available, and, B, what those teams are going to ask for in return. Of course, with Dexter Fowler having just declined a qualifying offer, the Cardinals, if they were to sign him, would lose a first-round draft pick, which is something that they're typically not prone to do, but also, you know, not necessarily counted out from he'd be a good fit in some ways. I think he'd give the Cardinals a new look at leadoff, and this is a guy who is .393 on base percentage over the last 2 years with sixth best in the National League. That would allow the Cardinals to then move Matt Carpenter down into more of a run production spot, and I think that would deepen their lineup in many ways. I think the flip side of it, though, is that the Cardinals really have kind of zeroed in on improving themselves defensively this winter. And when you look at Dexter Fowler defensively, he's not an elite defensive player. He had a good year this year, a lot of that having to do with the way the Cubs positioned him a little bit further back. But over the course of his career, he's actually kind of come in as a below-average defender. So, you know, that might scare the Cardinals away a little bit. I think the interest in Dexter Fowler is going to be very widespread, too, so there's going to be a certain cost associated with that. So, yeah, I could see him as a fit. I'm not sure that he is the best fit, but again, in a very thin free agent market and with questions about who might be available to trade for, he might be the best fit as of right now.
And Jen, you've been writing, again, as you alluded to, that the bigger priority for this Cardinals team at where the outfield is concerned is not offensively but defensively. And you've been writing that the Cardinals are entertaining the notion of moving Randall Grichuk out of center field. Is that something that could happen no matter what? And I guess what I mean is, you know, whether or not Fowler joins this team, is Grichuk going to be moved to a corner outfield spot? And if that happens, then who does fill that center field spot if Fowler goes elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals really essentially have two directions to go this offseason. And in a perfect world, if all were to work out as they would like to move Randall Grichuk to left field, of course, taking over for Matt Holliday and Brandon Moss, both of whom are now free agents and unlikely to re-sign. And then the Cardinals could add a center fielder. Again, the priority there being a defensively above-average center fielder. All of a sudden now your defense, which was really the weakness of this team last year, is that much better. Grichuk played as about an average center fielder. The Cardinals believe if you move him to left field, he is an above-average player. So certainly that is the priority. The fallback option is, and the Cardinals are okay with this, would be leaving Randall Grichuk in center field and then pursuing a left field option. And again, if they can get somebody defensively above average in left field, that would work as well. So they're kind of going attacking this from two different perspectives. Again, in a best-case scenario, they would love to get a center fielder. That's just going to be hard to do. There are not that many available right now, and the ones that might be available via trade are going to cost a lot of money. But outfield certainly is the priority right now, followed by kind of getting some help in the bullpen as well. But really, the Cardinals zeroed in on adding some outfield help.
Yeah, it's just been a strange offseason for the first time in recent memory. It's just a thin free agent class, and you've got big names like a Yoenis Cespedes, but he's never lauded for his defense, even though he's got the great arm. I don't think that's a guy that would be appealing to the Cardinals because for the same reasons you brought up with Fowler, he's not a great defensive center fielder. So there's a lot of odd mixes and matches that teams are going to have to do. The Cardinals are no different. We'll see what the offseason holds. And, Jen, shifting gears, to the rotation, it was such a strange 2016 season for this team, as we discussed at length for 6 months. It was kind of bizarro world where the pitching did not hold up its end of the deal, but the offense just crushed the baseball all season, something they haven't done in years when it comes to home run power, certainly. So when you look at that rotation, where do their priorities lie and what work is there to be done for John Mozeliak?
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals really like the options they have within the rotation. And again, I'll take this conversation back to the defensive side of things. I mean, if the Cardinals fielded a better defensive club this year, their pitching would have been better. I mean, there is certainly a correlation there. And you can look at something as simple as, the team ERA ranks 19th in the majors. You look at their fielding independent pitching, which takes out the defense. They ranked 7th in the majors. So, a lot of the issues I think we saw on the rotation side of things, particularly with a guy like Mike Leake or Jaime Garcia, who are very ground ball heavy, were all the issues the Cardinals had fielding the ball cleanly. So, that being said, they are getting Lance Lynn back from Tommy John surgery. And I think perhaps he was maybe not even talked about enough last year about how much the Cardinals missed Lance Lynn. I mean, this is a guy who has become a workhorse in the rotation. He can get you 200 innings very consistently every year. He's going to be back. The Cardinals believe that Adam Wainwright, a year further removed from his Achilles injury, will be better than the version that we saw this year. Mike Leake, as I noted, with an improved defense, should produce better numbers. And then, of course, you have Carlos Martinez, who in many ways emerged as the ace of this team. Alex Reyes, Sensational rookie pitcher who came up this year is going to be in that mix. And then you have depth with a Jaime Garcia, whose option was exercised. Michael Wacha, who's trying to come back from a shoulder injury. And then some young lefties in Marco Gonzalez and Tim Cooney. So the Cardinals believe they have a wealth of starting pitchers. And, of course, they need all of them to kind of take a collective step forward in terms of improvement. But again, if you can fortify the defense behind them, I think a lot of that will happen organically.
Yeah, that's a great stat about the fielding independent pitching, seventh in baseball when you factor in the defense, down to 19th. So again, both outfield and infield, you got to get that defense fixed. And that, in turn, is going to make the pitching look a lot better. And I personally cannot wait to see a full season from Alex Reyes. He's going to light up that radar gun for, you know, all things, if all things work out, over 30 starts, and maybe he will be the real breakout star for this Cardinals rotation in 2017. Jen, to begin to wrap up, for the first time in 9 years, Yadier Molina did not win a Gold Glove. That accolade this year goes to Buster Posey of the Giants. I know that Mike Matheny, you know, a former catcher himself, former Gold Glover, his defense of Molina was, well, okay, his defensive metrics were down, no disputing that, but he had a far bigger workload than any catcher in the National League, the numbers by far and away exceeding any other catcher in the NL. From your perspective, did Yadi deserve that ninth Gold Glove, or did the voters get it right this year with Buster Posey?
Yeah, I think the voters got it right. And, you know, I think Yadi's reputation has probably won him this award a few times before. They were, maybe you can make an argument that another catcher was more deserving. I mean, as you noted, I think there were two sides to this argument. The one was that this was a year in which, in many ways, Yadi had the worst defensive year of his career. I mean, he caught stealing only 21% of attempted runners, which was the lowest mark of his career. And after allowing 37 stolen bases 2 years ago, he allowed 67 this year. Now, a lot of that falls on the pitchers not holding runners on, but you know, certainly it didn't help Yadi's credentials. He had a career-most 8 pass balls, and he actually finished in the negatives in the defensive run save stats. So in that regard, it was not a banner year. I think you look at the flip side, however, and he started 142 games behind the plate. That's 14 more than any other catcher in baseball. He caught more than 100 innings more than anybody else. And as Mike Matheny kind of stumped for Yadi late in the season, he did hope that that would weigh in voters' mind. And certainly it did, as Yadi was a top 3 finisher behind the plate. But I think when you look at what Buster Posey did defensively across the board, even with a few fewer innings behind the plate, certainly deserving of that award. And knowing Yadi the way I do, I think it's going to serve as a little bit of motivation for him to come back next year and prove that he deserves that award again.
Yeah, nothing wrong with having a little chip on your shoulder to get back to your former heights. We'll see what happens with Yadi in 2017. Jen, final question. We're speaking here 8 days before Thanksgiving. So obviously for Thanksgiving dinner, turkey is always the main attraction. But for you personally, what is your favorite, number one, undisputed, best Thanksgiving fixin'?
Well, I'm going to give you two. For me, it's mashed potatoes and gravy, and it's the Pillsbury Crescent Rolls. But I will tell you, Matt, I'm very excited. For the very first year, my husband and I are hosting both of our families at our new house for Thanksgiving. So I have got to, in the next week, figure out how to cook a turkey, first off. But hopefully all goes smoothly, all the food turns out well, and everybody enjoys themselves. So that's something that we're looking forward to as a family.
How many people are we talking here?
We're talking about 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it's manageable.
Good. That's great to hear that. And it's a big step to host Thanksgiving dinner, but I'm sure you and the hubby can pull it off, and we wish you and yours a great Thanksgiving. Jen, always a pleasure. We'll do it again at some point soon, perhaps around the winter meetings. We'll see what transpires. Jennifer Langos joining us here on this Wednesday. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.